individual travel training if necessary to ensure that they will have a smooth transition to the fixed route system. Many of them still use paratransit when needed, but I really want to point out that this is a tremendous initiative to reduce the ridership of paratransit where it is appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Holland. Our next speaker, and I may mispronounce your last name, so I apologize in advance, is Eric Gilliland, and the subject is Met Branch Trail.
Good morning. My name is Eric Gilliland. That was a good pronunciation. I'm the executive director of the Washington Area Bicyclist Association, a local nonprofit dedicated to improving conditions for cyclists throughout the Washington region. We currently represent about 7,000 area cyclists, and I'm here today to call your attention to the lack of progress on the Metropolitan Branch Trail, specifically in the area of New York Avenue Metro, and urge WMATA to rapidly resolve the issues that prevent further construction of this vital bike and pedestrian facility. Last November, the public attended a grand opening ceremony for the new station, of which the Met Branch Trail is an integral part. But since that time, that section of the Met Branch Trail has remained closed pending the completion of connecting segments on both the north and south ends of the project. Without these connections, the trail is essentially useless, and the vision for a true multimodal development, one that would enhance the station itself through improved bicycle and pedestrian access, remains unfulfilled. In addition to the issues surrounding the land transfer from WMATA to the district, questions remain over who will actually complete the work. Earlier this year, DCDOT sent a letter to WMATA requesting a work order change that would empower WMATA to construct the missing segments of the Met Branch Trail on both the north and south ends of the project, but to date, no action has been taken on this request. The section of the Met Branch Trail at the Metro Station was a significant investment in time and money that required the close coordination of many different agencies to construct. The result of that effort was an award-winning project that combined trails with transit in a manner that would not only improve access to the station itself, but improve the economic development in the area. The Met Branch Trail will be a valuable asset to the citizens of the Washington region, and we strongly urge WMATA, as the lead agency involved, to consider the Met Branch a priority project and move forward on this important facility. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our last speaker this morning is Patrick Sheehan. The topic is paratransit contract.
Thank you very much for letting me speak to you this morning. My name is Pat Sheehan. I live in Silver Spring, Maryland, and I've had the pleasure of chairing the E&D committee for about the last 12 years, and I've been on that committee for about 15 years. My purpose to come before you this morning is to say thank you. There's so much that has happened throughout the system over the last 12 to 15 years, and we appreciate the efforts that the board has made on behalf of people with disabilities. Members of my committee, as Susan Holland said, Susan Holland and McKinley Young did a wonderful job working with WMATA on the paratransit contract. I think that that contract is going to give a lot of good service for people with disabilities. We have, I guess, enrolled now about 14 to 15,000 people who are eligible for the Metro Access service. I know the trip capacity over the last 5 years has gone from 60,000 trips a month to over 100,000 a month. So you're seeing a lot of people get out and use the system. They weren't using a system before, weren't using the fixed route system. So basically, I'm here to say thank you. Thank you for supporting people with disabilities. Thank you to my committee for participating on this review process. And we have a lot more plans coming up in the next year. We're looking at elevator redundancies in some of the metro stations. And we appreciate your cooperation in working with Dick White and WMATA and giving us the funds and resources we need to get the job done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan. Let me turn to colleagues if anyone wishes to address any of the public comments that were made to us this morning. Anyone wish to address?
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to say that I'm pleased that the members of the Elder and Handicapped Committee came this morning to let us know that they have been fully involved in this process, and I'm pleased to know that they are as enthusiastic as we are as we go forward with this new contract and with the prospect of having improved and more efficient service. So I thank the members of the committee for your work and for your presence here today.
Thank you, Ms. Mack. Mr. Taglerini.
I just want to comment on the remarks by WABA and just say that I agree with them that we need to get the Met Branch Trail open. We've been using eminent domain, actually, to get land north of the section in question, but I've actually just been stymied, and I frankly don't think it's the fault of WMATA. I don't think it's the fault of anyone involved. It's just a very complicated it's just a complicated real estate transaction, and I just want both the board to know that I think WMATA staff is working very hard, and we're working very hard to see it through. It's very frustrating for me as a transit user and a bicyclist to see that incredible investment just sitting fallow right now. So,
anyone else? Mr. Graham.
I just want to add that I too welcome this new contract, you know, for disabled transportation services. You know, and probably one of the best parts of this action that we're taking today is that we will no longer have the existing contractor. And I know there's a collective sigh of relief that what we have ahead is surely better than where we have been. And I appreciate the new controls on this contract. I appreciate most particularly the assurances that we've been given and the participation of those most affected, you know, really, really should set a precedent for us here. We should do that more and more. And so I thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. The next item on our agenda is the report by the chairman, and I only have one item, and that's to acknowledge the many years of dedicated service and work by a long-serving officer of this authority, and that is to acknowledge the retirement of Peter Benjamin, our chief financial officer. And I have a formal resolution to move forward, and I'll read it briefly, and then I will acknowledge Ms. Mack for what I presume will be a very quick second and some comments. Whereas Peter Benjamin will be retiring on October 1st, 2005, and whereas the Board of Directors wishes to acknowledge the 19 and a half years of service that he has provided to WMATA and to the citizens of the Washington Metropolitan Region, and whereas Peter Benjamin began his career at Metro as Senior Financial Officer on March 31, 1986, and ascended through the managerial ranks to become Chief Financial Officer, whereas his major accomplishments have included the introduction of smart trip technology, the administration of several significant innovative financial arrangements, including tax advantage leases, commodity swaps, bond refinancing, the TIFIA credit arrangement, and parking surcharge programs, now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority joins the Chief Executive Officer in commending Peter Benjamin for his outstanding leadership and service to enhance the professional image of the Department of Finance and the Authority, and be it further resolved that the Board of Directors extends its best wishes to Mr. Benjamin and his family for a happy and healthy retirement, and be it finally resolved that this resolution be effective immediately. And I so move.
I second the motion.
Recognizes the budget chairman, Ms. Gladys Mack.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am pleased to say a few words about the occasion of Peter Benjamin leaving the authority. He's one of the people that's been around almost as long as I have, and I've worked with Peter over the years on a number of projects, but my thanks goes to him for the assistance that he has given me in the work on the Budget Committee. He, of course, has been the primary staff person for the work of the Budget Committee, and Peter has done an outstanding job in assuring that I was fully briefed on all the issues coming before the committee. Sometimes it was awfully hard to work a briefing into my schedule prior to the meeting, but Peter was always persistent and utilized whatever time was necessary in order to do that. I think his work at the authority in the some of the innovative actions that he has brought here will be an incredible legacy to the time that he has served here. So congratulations on your retirement, and again, just thanks for all the assistance that we receive here at WMATA.
Thank you, Ms. Mack. Anyone else wish to be recognized? Yes, Mr. Leonard.
Mr. Chairman, let me follow Mrs. Mack and I guess congratulating Peter for someone who's been waiting and counting the hours for the day in which his retirement would eventually get here. And I think he has great plans on what he's going to do with his free time. But let me just say, Ms. Mack made great reference to the significance of his commitment and dedication to this authority and also the people that this authority provides daily service to. But I would also say that Peter has been a giant within the industry. You've spoken quite frequently of the many innovations that he has been involved in here in WMATA. I can also speak to the leadership that he's provided to the industry, as many have looked to emulate and follow many of those things that have been done here and have been actually followed in other parts of the country. And he's also very, very active in the finance meetings and committees within WMATA as they've moved forth with new policies and new plans for innovative financing and new policies to follow some of the federal standards. So I commend Peter for his commitment and his dedication to us, but also to the industry, and wish him well.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I would just like to say thank you to Mr. Benjamin as well. As many of you know, when I was first appointed to this position, the people that sat around me had been here for a lot of years, and I was clearly the wet behind the ears guy here, and had a lot of questions coming in. And I think that in that helping to ease into that process and perhaps save us several hours in committee meetings such that I didn't have to ask such questions, Mr. Benjamin was very helpful and forthcoming in the way the budget had processed over the years. And I know met initially with a member of my staff and I for 6 hours one day just trying to absorb it all as to how it all goes together. And I was very thankful for that, and I thought that throughout that process and as well carrying on to this day has been very fair in his assessment of questions that I've put forth at committee meetings as well as just on the telephone to suggest that item A or item B might not be entirely copacetic. And Peter often would say, well, yeah, you could look at it that way, but here's the reasoning behind why the way it is what it is. And I think that brought us to a better place. And I thank you very much.
Anyone else? Well, bearing in mind that we haven't voted yet, Peter, is there anything you would like to say?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I have very much appreciated the last 20 years working at the premier transit agency in the United States and perhaps the world. I believe this agency is what it is because of the large number of extremely dedicated employees that we have and how much they care. And in particular, I'm talking about the line employees out in the field, the people who every day make this place really work, the train and bus operators, the mechanics, the revenue technicians, the station managers, those people. And I hope that during the time I was here, I was adequately supportive of them, because that's what the rest of us here are really all about. I hope I've made a difference both to Metro and to the Washington Metropolitan Region. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Benjamin, and indeed you have. All those in favor? All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the chair votes aye, and the motion carries. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Our next item on the agenda is a report by the General Manager, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. White.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have two parts to my report this morning, and the first one is actually a request for you to take action on a recommendation. Now I need to move under the wire here, given that Mr. Benjamin has yet only six more working days or seven more working days left and is leaving some pretty big shoes to fill in his position as the Chief Financial Officer and the Deputy General Manager of Finance. Is I have a recommendation to bring forward to you to be the successor to Mr. Benjamin. We've engaged in a very extensive search. It's been gone on for more than 9 months. We have used the services of Krautheimer & Associates, a very well-respected executive search firm that specializes largely in government and transportation searches. They've done an exhaustive search. They've looked not only at the transit industry, but they've looked in many, many different places in governments and regional authorities, universities, accounting firms, in the private sector. They actually reviewed a list of 386 candidates, many of whom they spoke to directly, and obviously a smaller group of whom they actually interviewed. They gave us a set of a short list of recommendations that I asked Bill Scott and Harold Bartlett to be the lead in reviewing those candidates and presenting some recommendations to me. Based on that process and my review of the final candidates, I would like to recommend to you Mr. Charles Woodruff to be our new successor to Mr. Benjamin. His experience statement is in the package. Mr. Woodruff has 31 years of experience, all in the areas of finance. His last 6 years of experience has been as the Chief Financial Officer of two of our local county school systems, currently Stafford County and prior to that Fairfax County. Prior to him being a Chief Financial Officer, he has 25 years of experience in both schools and local government, in this case Fairfax County, and finance and budget offices. He has both an MS, a BS, and an MS degree, and is subject to your action if you were to approve this. He would be here in time for our next board meeting where he could be sworn in. So that is my recommendation, Mr. Chairman and members of the board.
Colleagues, the resolution is before us to appoint Mr. Charles Woodruff as Deputy General Manager, Chief Financial Officer of the Authority, and I'd accept a motion.
Second.
Properly moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Mr. White.
Thank you for your approval. The second item is to quickly take you through our September board digest to just hit the highlights of several various events that are going on either at Metro or in the region here. The first report on my item is the Dedicated Funding Conference, the WMATA Dedicated Funding Conference, that is an initiative of our chair and this board, in co-sponsored by the Council of Governments, the Federal City Council, and the Board of Trade. It will be held a week from this Monday, October 3rd, at the U.S. Navy Memorial and Heritage Center, 701 Pennsylvania Avenue, easily accessible by both Metro Rail and Metro Bus, in the morning from 8 a.m. To noon. There will be more information that will be provided in terms of specifics of the agenda for this meeting. There's a large audience of invitees. The obvious focus are our chief elected officials and key decision makers who would have to give some direction to how we would proceed on responding to the initiative that Mr. Davis has advanced in the Congress on a federal funding bill. And we all look forward to this very, very important conference and hopefully some regional consensus and unity that might come out of that. I would imagine perhaps also the need to make some suggested amendments to Mr. Davis for certain aspects of his bill, and hopefully to see if there's a way to move forward with the next steps on this critical issue. In addition, there are a couple of regional events that are going on, a very big one coming October 15th. Which is the Millions More Movement March. which commemorates the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March that took place October 16, 1995. That happened to be a banner day for Metro. We carried, our rail system alone, carried over 800,000 trips that day, which is the third highest ridership day in Metro's history. Now, 10 years ago, that happened to be on a weekday, and this one is on a weekend, so the amount of people that we actually carry might be a little bit less than that, but the attendance is currently estimated to be somewhere between 800,000 and a million. We will be providing additional service, including opening up 2 hours early, subject to final approval actions from the event organizers, consistent with our policy to do that. So it'll be a big day here in the National Capital Region. Other work that has been going on, I think you've been hearing quite regularly throughout this summer, a lot of switch replacement work that has been going on as a part of the capital investment upgrades to our system to bring some improved reliability to the service, particularly issues that impact the track department and the systems maintenance department. We have another big switch replacement going on in the Braddock Road area that will start this weekend and will carry over to the following weekend. There is one important adjustment that I want to relate to you from how this is described in this report. It is described as for both days this weekend and both days next weekend, we'd be operating an extensive single-track operation to support this. The staff has reevaluated the situation in recognizing that on October 2nd, there are some very extraordinary events that are going on that we need to get our work done by that point in time or to call it quits before then because of the Army 10-miler road race in Arlington, a Nationals and Redskins game. So we will conclude our work by Saturday night so that it'll be done by Sunday morning. So that single-track operation will conclude effective that so we can be ready to support the region with those big events that will be taking place on Sunday. Likewise, we have an opening of our White Flint garage on Saturday, October 8th, and a ribbon-cutting ceremony on October 12th. And finally, I would encourage all of you to join the staff, and I know several of the board members who are going to be here to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month from 1:30 today in this boardroom. And we are very, very fortunate to have as our featured speaker the Honorable Walter Tejada, who is the supervisor of Arlington County. He'll be joining us today. I would like to just finish up with one item that is in our package, is that I'm very, very proud of the really remarkable response that the employees of the authority did when the call for generosity came out in the immediate aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. In 1 week's time, the employees of the authority contributed $40,000 of their own money to these relief efforts, and a check was sent to the American Red Cross on behalf of the employees of the authority to support all those in need. And finally, the last item to call to your attention, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to try and point out on occasion some items that might be considered rather standard when you deal with them from a contracting point of view. The first item in your package today for you to act on is an implementation of one of the important improvements that are coming forward in the fiscal year 2006 budget that you saw the wisdom of putting some additional resources into. And this one happens to be to improve the appearance and cleanliness of our bus system. One of the important initiatives in this budget year was to be more aggressive in our bus cleaning program and to move it really from a biweekly program to a weekly program, and to then contract out the major monthly work that is done, and that's consistent with some of the experience of some of our county-based systems have had good success in moving in that direction. So there is a contracting item in front of you, which would actually contract for services to do that monthly heavy-duty cleaning, and then we would be able to deploy our resources to be better at our cleaning and to move from a biweekly to a weekly cleaning rate. So subject to your approval on this, we would all expect to see some rather dramatic improvements in the appearance of the bus fleet. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report.
Any questions of Mr. White? Mr. Ewell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I, with regard, first of all, thank you, Mr. White, for your report. With regards to the Braddock Road switch work to be done, now you're saying instead of over 2 weekends, just this coming weekend, in light of the fact that there's going to be, you know, that we have these other two events this weekend in addition to the following weekend, but I'm hearing numbers that there could be in excess of 100,000 folks in town, part of the anti-war protest. I don't know if just, you know, single tracking past the Braddock station is going to create that much of an inconvenience, but I'm assuming that that was all taken into consideration.
Yes, Mayor Yule, that was taken into consideration. It's a kind of a careful balancing act as we've looked through the entire summer to see what could be accomplished, and I know that Steve Feel and Jim Hughes were very mindful of that particular issue. I think we can satisfactorily work around that issue. I think the demands that will be placed on the system will probably not be as significant as some of the demands that are going to be coming subsequent to that. There has been a fair amount of mobilization that's already taken place of equipment and contract work that's already been lined up to do that. And I don't know whether, Steve, whether you want to supplement those comments in any way.
Oh, that's exactly right. We planned for this weekend. We don't see the ridership grow much past the numbers that we've gotten. And for October 2nd, we made alternate plans and cut some of the scope to be able to finish by 9 o'clock on Saturday night.
The other question relative to Braddock Road Station, yes, escalators have been out of service for a long while. What's the status in getting those back up and running?
Those escalators are out of service. One of them is for rehab. That's scheduled, I believe, to be done early next month. I don't know the schedule for the other ones are out there, but I will get that information before you leave.
Thank you.
Mr. Graham.
Just a question on the dedicated funding conference. Are you going to be providing us, particularly those of us who are elected officials, with a sense of what, you know, our participation is going to be in this conference?
Yes, you're going to be getting, actually, today before you leave, you're going to be getting some supplemental materials on that and actually some face-to-face dialogue with you.
Is the schedule for the day mapped out at this point?
Or the morning? A draft schedule for the day is mapped out, yes. Yes, you were. Yes, you will, sir.
Mills. Next item is the report by the Planning and Development Committee. Mr. Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to hit for Mr. Zimmerman today. The Planning and Development Committee met on September 8th and had two action items that it recommend or refer to this board for action. The first action item is establishment of an opening date for the White Flint parking garage. Staff requested committee to concur and forward to the board for approval an opening date of October 8, 2005. Ribbon cutting ceremony will be held on October 12, 2005. I move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries.
The second item, Mr. Chairman, is the bus system integration. Staff sought committee approval to forward to the board for programmatic approval to modify two or three existing contracts for integration of bus systems, to authorize task orders to the on-call engineering consultant, and to authorize the initiation and award of a contract for implementation of an interim real-time customer information system. And I move approval.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Mr. Solomon.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have a couple of information items as well. The committee heard a report, a status report on Metro Bus Capital Improvement Program FY06 through 11. Staff updated the committee on the status of the Metro Bus Capital Improvement Program. Bus Fleet Program, $601 million. To purchase buses to reduce the average fleet age to no more than 7.5 years. Staff will update the committee in October on the Information Technology Renewal Program, scheduling for MARS and MMMS. The committee suggests staff provide a financial report and presentation to the Budget Committee quarterly. Maintenance Program to $128 million to keep the bus facilities in good operating condition and capable of maintaining the expanded fleet. Staff is to provide the committee an updated assessment of a garage option at bus maintenance facilities. Onboard System Program, $72 million to upgrade and integrate all onboard systems. Committee requested staff to review how the 1,473 bus fleet can be deployed to move people and to communicate between local transit agencies. Staff to present to the committee next fare for and other priorities that need to be accomplished in a couple of months. Bus stop improvement program, $29 million, to include improvements in priority corridors and at transit systems that are vital importance to improve service reliability, customer safety, and convenience, as well as access for all customers and the quality of the bus service overall. Committee suggests staff to address revenue centers versus cost centers at the next presentation of the Comprehensive Bus Stop Improvement Program. There is $45.5 million in unfunded needs, with $29 million in maintenance facility upgrades as the first priority, pursuant to the APTA bus peer review. Staff to provide the committee in December 2005 a recommended approach concerning the $45.5 million unfunded needs. And that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon. Next is a report by the Real Estate Committee. Mr. Graham.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The Real Estate Committee met in executive session on September the 8th, 2005, and voted to recommend board approval of the following items. First, there were two matters involving extension of the negotiation period. The first was a 120-day extension of the negotiation period for the Silver Spring Transit Center, and the second was an extension to October the 15th, 2005 for the negotiation period for the Arlington Bus Garage Joint Development Site. Both of these extensions were viewed as justified. I move both.
Second. Seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Mr. Graham.
Finally, we had a resolution to request the use of TIF funds for the Tacoma Langley Transit Center. On June 20th, 2005, the board approved resolution 2005-22, allocating $6,744,000 of WMATA's TIF to the state of Maryland for the Tacoma Langley Transit Center. The resolution authorized the immediate release of $800,000 and required subsequent board approval of the release of the remaining $5.9 million. This action will allow the release of the entire projected Maryland allocation of $6,744,320 as it becomes available. Traditionally, this board has accepted the particular jurisdiction's recommendations insofar as the use of this joint development revenue, which is deposited in the TIF fund. I move approval.
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries.
I also want to report, Mr. Chairman, that the committee has discussed the an unsolicited offer to develop the Jackson Graham building. We have asked staff to prepare an outline of a solicitation, of a public solicitation, which will be reviewed at a future meeting of the committee. Thank you.
Next, we have a report by the Budget Committee. Ms. Mack.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Budget Committee met on September 14th. To consider the following items. The committee approved board guidance, or for recommendation to the board, guidance for the fiscal 07 operating budget. The specific items in that guidance are that the proposed growth in state local subsidy for metro operating budget will be 5.9% over the approved 2006 budgeted subsidy for a total subsidy of $461 million. The CEO's proposal will not include a fare increase. The proposed baseline operating expense budget will include the best estimate for fuel cost and will include the cost associated with any staffing increase to be proposed by the CEO, reflecting the findings of the APTA peer review of the bus. Staff will propose necessary cost containment actions to achieve the targeted subsidy, and the incremental expense to implement a living wage program will be shown as a part of the option. The resolution is in your folder with some additional details about the funding, and I move approval.
Second. Properly moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We also approve for recommendation to the board increases in core exchange item contracts. These contracts provide staff the authority to modify the core exchange contracts to meet operational needs. There are six of these contracts, and they are used to repair or refurbish major bus parts. This change will provide flexibility to purchase items from inventory. Therefore, there's no impact on the operating budget. I move approval of this action.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman. I want to say that even though this action that we're proposing affects inventory and not the budget, in recognition of the fact that it does require the outlay of a considerable amount of funds, which at some point turns into an expense for the budget, I've asked for some tracking over an annual period of this type of expenditure so we can see what we're actually spending in the inventory.
All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Mrs. Mack.
Thank you. We also recommend to the board a reprogramming for bus purchase. This item is to reprogram $47 million in Metro Matter railcar and facilities capital for the early purchase of 22 additional hybrid electric buses and 177 advanced technology diesel buses in fiscal 06. These buses are approved in Metro Matters, and the funding does not have any impact on the Metro Matters total. It simply is a change that is allowed because of the cash flow, or how the cash flow is being made in Metro Matters, which some of our purchases are slower than we had anticipated, and it allows us then to move forward the purchase of these buses. The funding that would be used in fiscal 06 would be refunded to the program in 06 and 07. I move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Back to you, Ms. Smith.
Thank you. The next project is a DC reimbursable project for Hurricane Katrina. This item authorizes the CEO to enter into a reimbursable operating agreement with the District of Columbia for activities associated with the hurricane. WMATA has already provided $118,000 in charter contracts, bus service, and smart trip cards for evacuees at the request of the district, and additional requests may exceed the CEO's spending limits of $200,000. This proposal will authorize the CEO to accept additional reimbursable activities for this project. The funding will be provided by the District of Columbia. I move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Ms. Mack.
Thank you. The next item is authority to execute a fuel swap. During discussion of the budget committee, there was some discussion about the desirability of entering into a fuel swap. We, of course, have done this over the years from time to time when we thought it was appropriate. These transactions, it was pointed out, are extremely time and market sensitive and require staff to have the flexibility to execute them at the appropriate time. The request that we have before you would allow the CEO to execute an agreement should he determine that it is in the best interest of the authority. Such agreement would be executed only after consultation with the board. I move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moving to second. Any discussion? Mr. Tangerlini?
Very quickly, I want to ask staff, given the fact that we now have another hurricane heading towards the oil-producing regions of the Gulf Coast, and I gather prices have begun to increase again, has waiting another week cost us money?
Waiting another week hasn't cost us money, but there was a dip in the point in between. It did go down latter part of last week and the beginning of this week, and yesterday and the day before started going back up again.
And that we've approved now the ability to consider a swap with the consultation of the board. Has your opinion changed, Mr. White, about the usefulness of this?
No, I don't disagree about the usefulness of it. It's a question of when the timing is, and, you know, I'm still – I'd look for some compelling information from experts to, you know, make an action at this particular point in time. The market price of our diesel fuel delivery went down from 251 to 228, so the gap is different in terms of what the separation points were. Yet we got another, you know, event of Mother Nature coming, which, you know, may introduce, you know, some unpredictability back into the market. So, I mean, I think, you know, we will do our very best to try to track this and listen to what the experts and the economists would recommend. And, I know Peter watches this every single day with his staff, and I know our new CFO, it'll be planted on his forehead when he walks in here. And, you know, if we believe that it's in the authority's best interest, we'd move forward. If any of you have any, you know, compelling feelings about it based upon your information points, we'd certainly love to hear them as well.
Anyone else? All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Ms. Mack?
Thank you. I have one further item that I would ask the board's approval of. We had a discussion at the conclusion of the budget committee regarding a proposal to modify the budget development and review processing. These proposals grew out of a review by the jurisdictional staff of WMATA, jurisdictional staff being that staff that really supports the board members from our various jurisdictions and provides input to us. We specifically asked the jurisdictional staff to review our fiscal year 06 budget and to give us some recommendations. The staff went through a very comprehensive analytical process and came forward with some what we think are very good recommendations, and we'd like to see those recommendations actually pursued in our budget development and review. This is a particularly good time to do this because we are getting a new CFO who's going to be sort of mounting the very steep learning curve that we have here at WMATA, and some of the proposals that are being advanced I think will contribute to that process. At the end of the budget discussion, we actually didn't approve the proposal. There was agreement that it be forwarded to the board. I have asked the staff to prepare a resolution, which you have before you, and I'm going to move this resolution, and then I'd like to just highlight the key points that we well, I'll do that before I move. The proposal would include the preparation of scope, schedule, and budget for development of a business plan. We would update the existing strategic plan, but would include implementation, specific implementation guidance for implementation of the plan, including performance measures and benchmarks for the operating and the capital budget. We develop budgeting best practices in conjunction with the jurisdictional staff. We would improve the inclusiveness of stakeholders in the processes, and this is important. As we develop the budget, it would be important to make sure that we have inclusiveness of the people who pay the bills. at every point in that process. And we would emphasize in the review long-range planning, revenue forecasting, linkages between budget and financial plans, and the budget process. And then finally, we would take a look at indexing for fare changes and showing some of the options for doing that. We've had some discussion in the budget committee before, and we sort of didn't let it go anywhere. So this review would specifically focus on the various options that we would have for indexing fare increases. With that explanation, Mr. Chairman, I would move approval of the resolution.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Graham, and then Mr. Lynn.
A question to the chair of the committee. Is there a fiscal impact of this proposal?
One of the goals of this proposal is to get a fiscal impact from the staff. That is one of the things we're asking for. So the answer to that is no.
That's not my question. That's a good answer, but it's not answering the question I have in mind. When I ask if there's a fiscal impact, is there a cost associated with this proposal?
No, not this proposal that we are advancing. Once the staff reviews, or actually does what we are asked, what this proposal asks them to do, in order to carry out the recommendations of this proposal, there would be a cost. But this resolution itself does not have a cost attached to it.
Well, I don't know whether, sometimes it's a little tricky, because I read the resolution and it seems to be silent, but then I read the proposed budget processes, which the resolution incorporates, I must assume. Yes, it says that the Board of Directors approves the attached budget processes. And I see under point one, the second bullet, it says funded. And so do you mean to say that this is, that we really should have the language here subject to board approval, there shall be funding?
Of course, because whatever is developed would really be brought back to us for review and analysis and approval.
No, again, they're two different. I don't want to mix those apples and oranges. I'm talking about this review itself. I read this as the review itself is to be funded from planning resources. That sounds to me like an appropriation of funds. Now, if it is, then we need the detail. If it isn't, then we should clarify that we are not appropriating any funds here. This is a this has no fiscal impact, as you have assured us.
Can I say that this resolution that is before you does not contemplate any expenditure? And if we can add somewhere to the resolution subject to board approval, and if that would make it acceptable to you, then I'm happy to add that.
I'm not necessarily arguing one way or another. I just simply want to know what I'm voting on. And so if this is a salutary resolution regarding a process without any funds being appropriated, then I think we need to say that. If it's any funds being appropriated, if it isn't that, then we need to have the detail of how much this will cost the authority.
Can I ask you a question? Could you point me to the language here that suggests that
under proposal direction number one, if you look at the second bullet, it says funded.
The proposal would include the following?
That's the budget itself.
Second bullet says funded from planning.
Oh, we've got two or three different things going here. Okay.
Do I have the wrong version?
No, no,
this
your
is
version
the one
is
that
fine.
I was just given.
Okay.
Madam Chair, want me to offer a comment on this? My reading and understanding of this is that you want me to come back and to prepare for you a recommended scope, schedule, and budget on these two points, and then to come back and present the results of that work, this is the cost associated with doing it, this is the approach and the timetable to do it, and that this budget process is identifying signaling what the fund source would be once it's scoped out and brought forward. There's an anticipation of a fund source to accomplish what I would recommend to you and what actions you would take on it, and that would be the Regional Project Development Program as that particular fund source. So that's how I'm interpreting what I see in front of me.
That is correct. That is the intent.
So that you see this, the intent of this resolution is to not appropriate any dollars from this authority.
Directing me to come back to you after I've done these 2 points and re-present to the Budget Committee my response to this and what my recommendations would be to be responsive to this process.
So this is a very preliminary suggestion to you for you to take this and prepare a more full-fledged proposal for our consideration.
Yes, it's direction to me to do that.
But then my second question is that I don't know, perhaps there are members of this board who are very familiar with JCC, and perhaps there are members of this board who are not. But who I am familiar with in terms of the issues in point number two is the chief financial officer for the District of Columbia. And if we're talking about structuring a budget process here, it is essential, you know, that this not so much involve the JCC as, from my point of view, but that it involve the chief financial officer. And the way in which this is stated, it seems to me a little bit looser than I would like. And so I would like to just suggest a friendly amendment that the team must include the CFO. I don't know what CAO is. That Chief Administrative Officer?
Yes.
The CFO and Chief Administrative Officer from the major funding partners.
Mr. Graham, that is fine, but I would like to say that Mr. Tagliolini's office works with the district's CFO. In fact, I don't know, is he a member, is your CFO a member of the district CFO staff?
Yes.
Right. Mr. Graham?
Yeah, I recognize that. I just want to be assured that the emphasis is on the CFO, at least equal to that of the JCC, because, you know, our JCC representatives, while they're, I'm sure, very good people, there's no question in my mind they're very good people, are not as qualified as the chief financial officer to deal with issues of budget. And you know that, having been the budget director.
Well, Mr. Graham, I also know that the JCC is a very powerful group, and if they're not powerful in themselves, they're attached to the power and the decision makers that fund this agency. So
that might vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, Madam Chair. It might vary.
Next,
it may not, but it might vary from jurisdiction. I'm just simply saying, let's be sure that we have the CFO in the mix. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Concerns have been acknowledged. I recognize Mr. Lynn.
You're in charge. I'm not.
Thank you. That's what happens when you've been here for more than so many years. You saw the masses start taking over.
Mrs. Mack is a powerful leader, and I look forward
to her
leadership.
And people are affiliated with her, and therefore they're powerful.
I'm the warm-up back for Mrs.
Mack.
Lynn.
Let me just say, I have, some of you may know, I've been an advocate for such a process from the day that I arrived at this board, and I think, quite frankly, even though this is coming out of the Budget Committee, I think the process itself lends itself to come out of the Administration Committee. There is a lot more that we need to be examining here that we will examine from this process. So I'm very supportive of this going forward. I am concerned about how prescriptive this specific resolution is. I think that raises some of the questions that Mr. Graham raised, that it, I understand the concept, the direction, and the focus, and that direction is basically to give the staff a direction of developing a proposal to bring it back to us, but this seems to be very prescriptive as to, it almost seems to sound like it is a proposal itself. And I think that's why some of the questions that he raised were raised. Conceptually, it is something that I think as an organization we should be addressing. It doesn't just have budget implications
It has business process improvements organization implications, organizational implications, and also how we manage and operate and how we change our culture in this agency from a building industry or agency to a service industry. So there's a lot more here than just the budget process if we have to do this process correctly. So that's my comments, Mr. Chair.
The Chair would just like to commend Ms. Mack for her work with staff and the JCC pulling this together. This type of review, as it comes back to us, is the type of long-term strategic placement of this agency that will look at more than just one budget cycle. And frankly, we need this type of analysis to sustain our credibility as we look forward to obtaining a stable and reliable revenue source for the authority. And Ms. Jagrellini.
I was simply trying to follow up on Mr. Graham's point and make and offer a suggestion that may, to the language. I'm not sure if Mr. Graham, you've received any response to your concern, or would it be possible to just change the language after the word conduct this review to say this team must include the CFO and CAO or members of their staff? Would something along that line be suitable?
Is that acceptable to the maker of the motion?
We can't make a motion.
I can't make a motion. I'm not making a motion.
Is that acceptable
yes,
to
I
the
I
maker?
I made the motion.
Mrs. Mack
so
is accepted.
No, and I was telling Charlie I wasn't making a motion. But
I had already suggested that.
I just enjoy watching my colleagues from the district argue over this.
Not arguing. I don't think we're arguing.
I just have one line, Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Mack has agreed to the modification. Has the seconder also agree? All right, then the motion has been appropriately modified. Mr. Graham.
Yeah, and this came out of the Budget Committee without recommendation, I need to emphasize. And so it's here today kind of ipso facto kind of thing. The resolution, Mr. White, will you look at the resolution of and the resolve clause and make sure that we're clear? You're taking this as a suggestion for you to prepare a proposal, but the resolve clause says that the Board of Directors approves the attached budget process. That's what it says. And so I don't know whether that jives with what you've just said to me. Because if you're seeing this as a group of suggestions, I'm a little bit confused, Mrs. Mack. Are we approving as this resolution suggests, or are these suggestions for Mr. White to consider as he comes back to us?
Chair acknowledged, Mrs. Mack, for clarification.
Mr. Graham, the heading here says proposed budget processes. And so this resolution suggests that the board is approving these processes, including the direction to the CEO to perform as he explained.
So what we're really doing then is this should read that the Board of Directors approves the attached budget process recommendations to the general manager. Because these are recommendations for him to consider as he comes back.
Well, we make a little more than recommendations to him, though. I mean, we're directing that he carry this out.
Well, then it's not. Then that's different than what he said earlier.
It is.
If you have no discretion, Mr. White, you don't have to spend a lot of time developing the proposal. You can just simply copy this.
Well, no, that's certainly not how I'm interpreting this and how I would respond to this. As I had explained earlier, the direction to the staff would be to do as is directed, and it says proposal/direction, direct the staff to prepare a scope, schedule, and budget for development of a business plan, and there's further explanation of what the intent of that first sentence is. And then the second direction that comes out of this is to engage in a process involving CAOs, CFOs, and JCC to do the items under point two, which is more related to how we do our long-range forecasting and integrate it into the point one, which is the one-year budget process, and to do it in a way that has best practices, performance measurements, and benchmarks. So, you know, what I'm going to come back to you with is a little more detail that's in here, but nevertheless, a scope of work on how to proceed because I'm not going to come back with the answers. I'm going to come back with more fleshing of this out and say, here's the level of effort I think it's going to take. Here's how much I think it's going to cost. Here's what I think staff can do. Here's what we might need third-party resources to do. Here's an appropriate timeline that it might take to accomplish this.
Now, I understand Mr. Graham's confusion, because I'm getting confused with this as well. It seems to me, and I'm trying to get some clarity after listening to Mr. White again, do you see this as two separate items? One is, because reading the resolution, as Mr. Graham stated, it seems to suggest that the budget process, utilizing the CFO and the JCC, has already been prescribed here, and we are, in fact, approving that.
Mac?
Well, Ms. Linton, over the years, we have used the JCC as a part of our normal budget process. So what this contemplates is that as the work that is described here in number two proceeds, that the JCC would be used as a participant in that work, but what's described here in number two may or may not have a cost to the authority. Existing staff is going to be able to come up with much of what is proposed here in two.
This wasn't a cost. I wasn't raising costs. I was raising process. I'm trying to find out is, are the items under two, that's a process that we're approving by passing this resolution.
Well, the bullets that are here?
Yes, that's the process.
It says, you notice the introduction is, there should be special emphasis on. It doesn't say this is complete, do this and no more, or it says there should be special emphasis on it. Now, I don't think we could find any one of these bullets here that we would disagree that ought to be some special emphasis.
Let me go to another question then. Part one that talks about developing a business plan, scope, schedule, and budget that will have performance measures, benchmarks, and the like, that's not going to be what we do in number two is not going to be related to what happens in number one?
It's all related, Mr. Lenton.
Okay. Should in fact, we develop the overall plan and the role for the CFO and the JCC, should not occur under one, and then we decide specifically what those plans and steps will be after we do number one?
That's what I expect Mr. White to come back to us and say. If we want to make this, if there's a way, if you would be more comfortable with it, if we removed some of these specifics, we're happy to do that. What we're trying to do is to make sure that we have performance measures, to make sure we have best practices in our budget, to make sure that our revenue forecasting, our long-range planning, all of those activities that are part of a budget process, to make sure that they are carefully reviewed, and that they are reviewed including the input of all the stakeholders that are responsible for funding this authority. Now, there may be a better way to say this, and I'm open to wordsmithing this in any way that we can, but the record on this was made at the point that the JCC came back with their review of the budget. This is not new. None of this is new. It was presented at that time. The committee, or at least the majority of the committee, felt that this was a good direction that we should move in, particularly since we have a change at the helm of our financial management here in the authority. And that is our objective. That's what we're trying to achieve. if these words are not put together quite the way you're comfortable with, we're happy to accept some modifications, some equivocation or whatever. But I think the thrust of this is absolutely essential here at the authority as we move forward sort of with a new new leadership.
Ms. Mack, Mr. Lynn, I think the clearest point that's been made is this is going to be a scope coming back to us. It'll be subject to our modification. The development of that scope is going to include the CFOs. So I believe we're covered. The chair calls the question. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion's carried. Anything else, Mrs. Mack?
I'd like to be counted, if I may, in this vote. Mm-hmm. May I be counted in this vote, please?
I call for the vote. How would you like to be reflected on record as having voted, Mr. Graham?
I'm going to abstain on the basis of that I don't think this resolution is clear.
Passes with the abstention of Mr. Graham. Next item. Yes.
I just have one other item to report, Mr. Chairman. The we reviewed at the Budget Committee. We reviewed the year-end financials for fiscal year 05, and there is Mr. Graham, would you not have a side of the conversation, please?
He's starting.
Thank you very much.
He's
sorry.
I'm sitting in silence.
Thank you. I love that. We, at the June year-end financials, had some really good news for us. The yearly rail ridership was $195.2 million, the highest in Metro Rail's history. The June average daily ridership was also the highest in Metro Rail history. The June average weekday rail ridership was 735,000 trips, and ridership exceeded 700,000 trips on 18 of 22 weekdays. We ended the year with a substantial positive subsidy variance, mostly due to strong revenue performance. We had a net subsidy return to the jurisdictions, Mr. Smith, of $14.2
million. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's not all yours, though. We had positive revenue variance of $31.2 million due to mostly the very strong ridership, due to greater than estimated income from the fare increase, and due to increased non-passenger revenue. The expenses were unfavorable by $17 million due to costs associated with heightened security, the price of diesel fuel, and various other rail incidents. But indeed a very significant year in fiscal 05. That ends my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Mack. Mr. White, just a brief question. I was looking at a recent online chat, and it indicated that there are 50,000 more riders this year than last year. Is that an accurate figure?
Well, let's see. It has been hovering anywhere between 5 to 8% differential since post-Labor Day. So, yeah, it's been as high as 50,000 more per day than this time a year ago.
Just put things in perspective, that's twice the total population, every man, woman, and child of the city of Fairfax, Virginia, that have just said, hey, howdy, and come onto our system in this past year. Pretty amazing. Next item is the report of the Policy and Legislative Committee. There is one item before us, and that is to entertain approval of the recommendation for the creation of our first ever Riders Advisory Council and adoption of the governing and bylaws and standards of conduct. And I would be happy to move approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Long overdue.
Yes.
Move the question.
All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. And congratulations to the riders of this region. The last report is a report by the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee.
Mr. Chair.
Smith.
They all, you know, the simple names.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee met today, September 22nd, 2005, and is recommending one action for board consideration. The action item is on the award of the paratransit services contract. For the record, I'll get all the numbers in here. To recommend The purpose is to recommend award of the paratransit services contract to MV Transportation Incorporated in the amount of $203,542,817 for a contract period of 4 base years. Additionally, to recommend the approval of additional contract authority to cover the cost of performance incentives for 4 years, estimated $6 million, and fuel escalation costs prior to the cutover of operations of $500,000 for a total award amount of $210,042,817 for the 4 base years of the contract. MV is one of the largest paratransit providers in the nation, operating more than 130 paratransit service contracts and 3,000 vehicles nationwide. The changeover date for the new contractor is January 15, 2006. Move the document that's in your package.
Seconded. Any discussion?
Call the question.
Every time you say call the question, I should technically have 2 votes, so I'll ignore that. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Mr. Smith.
Additionally, we discussed or had a briefing on the status of the tracking system for implementing internal and external improvements that were recommended during the APTA peer reviews, and Mr. White briefed the committee on emergency preparedness planning in our region. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Smith, also I understand you had an added number to put in perspective the increased number of riders.
It was in a sidebar conversation.
I like it. Go ahead, Mr. Smith. Share.
Well, it's effectively the increased number of riders would be a sold-out Nats game, I believe.
So picture that. That's how many more riders we've gained this year.
And how much revenue we get from that?
A lot. Next, we have the administrative actions, and the chair would entertain a motion for approval of the administrative actions.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Can we extract number 3 for an explanation, please?
All right. With the exception of item 3, all those in favor of the actions as submitted, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Chair recognizes Mr. Smith for discussion on item 3.
Number 3 is the open-end contract to Dim Jim on New Starts.
If you remember about last year when we planned the future of the CTC and we broke it down to 3 different contracts, we awarded the first contract, which to take care of our rehab program, and that's underway. Then we said we're going to award another contract in case we have new starts, to have a contractor who can help us with the new start projects. There is nothing to award right now, just we're moving on with our process. And right after that, we have the vehicle engineering contract right in front of you today. For that, remember we made the decision.
I recall that discussion at the time. I guess I have a question about this contract dealing with new starts. We're agreeing to rates. Are we agreeing to rates with these folks and entering into an open-end contract? Is that what we're...
Open-ended contract.
It's not.
It's an annual contract. You're going to approve the budget. You're going to approve the project. Most likely it will be a reimbursable project. And, yes, our auditor general always reviews the audits and approves the audits for all these contracts.
That must be a difference in terminology because the narrative says this is an indefinite delivery task order.
Right. Correct.
Task order.
Yeah, it's a task order. So the first call for service, it would be an actual scope that would be prepared for that particular call for service.
We have approval on that or no?
Tasks, yes. You approve the annual program for those tasks. The majority, all these tasks are reimbursable projects. They come before you. You approve the project. Then we ask you for authority to execute or to approve a task order, and we do the job.
This would be only and Dim Jim would handle all those projects?
For this term, correct?
For this term, yes.
It's 4 years or 5 years?
Five years.
Okay, very interesting. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Graham.
And what was the process whereby this company was identified? Is this the result of a competition? And so others provided proposals, and those proposals were reviewed, and this was viewed to be the best provider?
Yes, Mr. Graham, we started about a year, maybe longer than a year ago, and it was an open competition, and practically a lot of firms from around the country, they competed, and it was a special group put together, and it was a best value negotiation based on the Brooks Act. And Ms. Jackson is here, acting director of procurement, if you have any further questions.
I think it's, isn't it a little bit unusual to award a contract when there is no work contemplated?
No, not necessarily. I mean, that form of contracting has been used quite a bit in the past by the authority. Not recently. Remember, this is the undoing of the consolidated approach that was put in place through the Capital Transit Consultant, CTC, where we packaged up what was separate contracting. We've now essentially gone back to the same way we used to do it prior to the consolidation. This particular contract is a little bit different in that it is anticipating work that's not easily. The first two contracts are fairly easy to identify the level of effort associated with it. They, you know, have a reason. They have a predictable level of effort. They're outlined in each particular work program. The consultants staff up to support that work program. You support the work program annually. This one is in place. If and when projects move forward that get approved by this board, they get put into annual budget programs approved by the Budget Committee and the board to implement the advancement of what are known as New START projects.
Hey, could you offer some more clarification on that? I mean, what would a New START project be? I mean, it sounds like it's more than what I'm thinking in my mind that it is.
Yeah, I mean, the extent to which if we have work with the District of Columbia coming out of its alternatives analysis for the multiple corridors it is doing, and if it says we got a corridor that we want to now move into project development and to move forward into the preliminary engineering phase, that would be an example. Coming out of Northern Virginia, there's a lot of work that's being done in the Arlington-Alexandria location with respect to Columbia Pike and Route 1. If they then develop into a live project concept that moves out into the environmental phase through PE, that's the type of project that would move forward and would be handled by this particular contractor.
And one of the very important specialties of this contractor is the environmental clearance phase. Before you do anything else, you have to clear the project environmentally. It's the NEPA process, as we know, and that was one of the selection criteria for all these contractors.
All right, thank you.
Okay, our chairman will entertain a motion to approve admin action item number 3. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Smith. All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. That concludes our regular meeting. I have a motion for executive session. I move the board meet in executive session to discuss legal and personnel matters consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6.3.
Oh, we have a good time.
Is there a second? All those in favor, please indicate by bellowing aye. Those opposed, chair bellows aye, and motion carries. We are adjourned.